listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, it's the back end of a motor racing doubleheader on Sunday, the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte. One of the premier events in motorsports. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. That and the state of the NASCAR Cup Series as we stand right now. Bob Pockrass joins us from Fox Sports. How are you, Bob?
Doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. As I was mentioning, it's the back end of a motorsports doubleheader with the Indy 500. This is a very popular event. People like the length of it. It's kind of cool when it goes from day to night. Is it still the same level of endurance as it was years ago to go 600 miles in these cars?
It is for the drivers. As they've improved the build of the cars, it isn't necessarily as much a test of machine and how and who's going to last the full 600 miles as far as the car. But for the driver, it wears a lot. You know, I was talking to a driver, William Byron, earlier, and he said the one thing about this race is that he kind of needs to decide what to eat during the race. Like, can he get some energy chews? What can he do? Because it's a 4.5-hour race, and as you said, it kind of goes from day to night. Fortunately for the drivers, it's going to be cool. It's going to be in the 70s at the start and in the 60s by the finish.
How does a race car change and how does a track change when you see the sun up and provides some heat from the sky to when it cools down at night? What does the driver have to do when the track changes temperature like that?
Well, the track gains grip as it gets deeper into the night. You know, when it's hot and slick, they need the car to handle more. And then when it gets into the night, they have the grip on the tires to the track, and it's all about speed and the engines. They tend to work a little bit better in the cooler temperatures as well.
How much does strategy goes into this with drivers? If it's a long race, like you said, 4.5 hours, it's 400 laps. But when you talk about keeping the car, maybe I'll stay 15th for a while until I make a move. How much of that is played into a long race like that?
I think where strategy comes in is to know that the track is going to change. And so don't make any crazy changes to your car if you think it's pretty good early and you think it'll be better later. You know, if you're struggling, let's say you are 15th, it's better to ride around in 15th and let the track necessarily come to you than to maybe make a bunch of changes for while you're running 15th and then realize that you've kind of tuned yourself out for the nighttime and all of a sudden you're running 25th.
So far this season, 11 different drivers have won. That sounds like it would be a recipe for success. Has it been a recipe for success in sort of entrance and sort of the broad nature of what this season has meant without sort of a dominating presence? I mean, I know Martin Truex Jr. has 3 wins, but it's not like he has 7.
Yeah, it's great to see so many different drivers win. You know, obviously, if you're fans, the fans of each of those drivers have had something to cheer. You've had some surprise winners in Michael McDowell in the Daytona 500. Christopher Bell, not necessarily a surprise that he won, but that he won on the Daytona road course. And I think even a bigger surprise is that you've got a couple of fan favorites, drivers who have won, won a lot of races last year in Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, who haven't won yet. So it's not just it's not just some surprises, but some drivers that you've expected to see have a win this year who still have a goose egg in the win column.
Yeah, and remind us now, all of these drivers have a place in the playoff unless there's more than 16 slots and then they go to points?
Yeah, so there's 16, pretty much, there's 16 slots in the playoffs, but one of those slots is reserved for the regular season champion. And now that's Denny Hamlin, and he has about a 100-point lead. So as long as he stays in the lead in the regular season standing, he's in. And then it's the next 15 drivers based on wins, and then ties are broken by points. So it's key for those drivers with one win to get a second win, because then that definitely guarantees them in, because no matter where they are in points, as long as they're in the top 30, their 2 wins would be considered the tiebreaker over anybody with 1 win, no matter how many points they have.
So this season, there's some new races on the racetrack. Nashville is coming up. That's where I live, and I know people here are really excited for that. But last week, they went at Circuit of Americas, a road course, and even though it was raining, has NASCAR broadened its look as to where they can find new tracks and new places to go? Where did that sort of generate from?
I think it generated from going to the same places over and over and over and feeling that they needed to go to new markets and plus their new car that's going to debut next year is more designed to race on road courses. They know that some of their best racing is on road courses, so they want to add, you know, Circuit of the Americas, Road America. They wanted to try the dirt race and decided to throw a bunch of dirt on Bristol.
That's right, yeah.
They're trying to generate some excitement, some intrigue, and so when you go to a racetrack or at least for not every week that you're like, oh, these are the two or three drivers who've been good here every year. Those are the ones who are going to win. They wanted to add to the variety, and you know, next week they're going to do an iRacing event on a street course in Chicago, a virtual street course, but they've used the iRacing platform in hopes of trying to design a street course that could work on the actual streets of Chicago. And whether that happens next year or 2023 or 2024 remains to be seen, but that's their goal.
Last week, there was a lot of criticism with the rain and the danger that rain presented. I mean, maybe guys were just talking right away and the emotions got the best of them. But was it justified in a way how that race was run?
Absolutely. I mean, even NASCAR said that they probably stopped the race a little too late as drivers had some hard crashes because they couldn't see. And you know, this was the first time Cup cars had raced in a downpour. And Circuit of the Americas has some long straightaways, and the rooster tails and the spray from the cars just made it difficult for the drivers to see. And the fact is that in practice, the drivers were complaining about not being able to see, and it didn't seem that NASCAR was all that proactive in trying to create any sort of system to say, hey, if you can't see, let us know. And thankfully, nobody was hurt in either of those two very rough crashes.
Going back to the 11 different drivers that have won, I know people remember sort of dominating days of Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson and whatnot, and some drivers that have really racked up some victories. But has there been something in NASCAR that has allowed a lot more drivers to be competitive for wins, a lot more teams to have cars that are competitive to win for wins?
That's a great question. I think if you look at all the drivers who won, with the exception of really McDowell, you would have expected all those drivers to have won at some point this year. Like, nothing is a total surprise beyond maybe Stuart Haas Racing, led by Kevin Harvick, who haven't run as well this year. I think the one thing that has happened is that with the new car coming in 2022, NASCAR has had a freeze on parts development. So it's kind of what you've got is what you've got, but they've also have changed the way they've inspected the cars, and that has taken away maybe some of the advantages that some of the teams had last year. They're pretty much interpreting one of their rules a little bit differently when it comes to how the car, the shape of the body of the car around the wheel. And some teams had really been able to find some speed in that, and they don't have that this year.
Bob Pockrass joins us, Fox Sports, on the Coca-Cola 600 coming up this weekend. Is this a race normally won by savvy veterans who have figured this race out, or can a winner come from nowhere for this, a race like this?
We've seen, you know, what Casey Mears won this race, and you would say maybe he came out of nowhere, but mostly it is the veterans, it is the drivers who know what they want, and as we talked about earlier, it's the drivers who aren't going to panic if they're not running well early in the race, because they know the track will change throughout the night.
Really appreciate it. Bob, good information. Really appreciate it, and enjoy the weekend. I appreciate it, your time.
Thank you.
You got it. Bob Prockers for Fox Sports on the Coca-Cola 600. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new HomeQuote Explorer, only at progressive.com. I went to the Coca-Cola 600 2009. That was fun. I mean, we ended up getting a rain delay, and we had to watch it last year. But there was a lot of pageantry that went on in the race. Memorial Day weekend, a lot of tributes to veterans and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
I got to admit, that is a bucket list of mine to go to a NASCAR race.
Yeah, they're great. If you've never been to one, my parents went to one. You know, I grew up in New Hampshire, and we have a track that had a Winston Cup, back then Winston Cup that came. That's how I got my start and whatnot. But my parents didn't go until I moved to Vegas, and then they came out to Vegas, and they went to the inaugural Las Vegas 400. And they you know, it was exciting. They were it's thrilling. It's kind of neat. I always recommend people go if you can get a ticket, go, even if you don't know anything about the cars or anything about the drivers, you know anything about the sport, just go to sense it. It's one of those sports that you can get down onto the concourse when they come by near the fence, it's pretty awesome. They're really fast. And it's the first time I went, I was blown away. First time I went, it was crazy because no one told me when my first NASCAR race was in 1994. And my boss didn't tell me that for a noon start in New Hampshire that I needed to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get there on time. It was like one country road that led into the racetrack and they were going to put 80,000 people in that place. So I got up at 6:30, got dressed, kind of went out there. By the time I was 10 miles from the track and I knew I was in trouble. It was like, oh no. I went off the exit. I was like, oh no, I'm going to be here forever. It took forever to get in. And I finally got in and got to my spot and watched the race. But going to a race is a pain because it's usually these tracks. They're not like arenas, right? Like football stadiums where they got easy access to the interstate and whatnot. They're usually like in the middle of nowhere. And you got to drive down like one state road to get there. And the cops try to keep the traffic moving, but it takes forever. But yeah, if you can get to one, go to one. They're pretty fun. And even if you don't know the rules, just go to enjoy. Like my mother didn't know anything about the race. She chose Lake Speed because he was racing in the spam car. I thought that was awesome.
Why not
root for the guy that's in the spam car?
You know, take it a step further. He must be Hawaiian.
That's true. I always joked, did he need that special key to get out of the car where you had to kind of roll it across to get the roof out instead of just going out the window?
Peel it back all the time?
You had to peel it back so you could get out of the car. Yeah, you could pick a driver. Like if you like M&Ms, go with Kyle Busch. Who cares?
Right.
Pick a sponsor and root for the sponsor. It's always good. All right, it is Wake Up Call. We got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb that's coming up in 15 minutes. You don't want to miss that as we continue as on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.